Welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in this Catskill region. I don't think I'm breaking news when I say that the U.S. healthcare system is in crisis. COVID strained healthcare organizations like hospitals, long-term care facilities, primary care home care agencies, and it strained healthcare workers. And it seems that we've not yet recovered from that nightmare. And we're unlikely to see the system recover in the short term and longer as the Trump administration and Congress make cuts to tax credits for health insurance, Medicaid, and other health programs and leave these organizations really trying to scramble to, break even. Some of them are still doing quite well, but many are really struggling financially, and it will become more of a struggle as particularly the cuts in Medicaid happen. Well, the leaders of healthcare organizations are focused on the bottom line to survive, but some exceptional healthcare administrators are also focused on supporting their staff, particularly the nurses who provide the bulk of care. They know that you can't have quality healthcare with good outcomes if you don't address employee satisfaction. And joy at work, as it has been called. But what does this work look like? What does a supportive work environment look like? How do healthcare organizations like hospitals ensure that nurses and other healthcare workers are provided with the support they need to be able to do their jobs well and feel joy in their practice? Well, the American Nurses Credentialing Center has looked at this for nurses and has an initiative called Pathway to Excellence that focuses on how organizations can create positive practice environments that empower and encourage staff and recognizes the organizations that do create these kinds of environments. And here to talk about all of this with us is Dr. Christine Pabico, a registered nurse and senior director of the Pathway to Excellence program for the American Credentialing Center. Christine, thank you so much for joining me on Health Cetera in the Catskills today.
Absolutely, and thank you for the invitation, Diana.
Sure. So let's start with what is ANCC, and then what is the Pathway to Excellence program?
So, ANCC Pathway to Excellence program is a global designation that recognizes organizations that are not only committed to, but also have successfully created and sustained positive practice environments that put people first above, all else. And, in Pathway, I know you mentioned the pandemic, Diana, we refer to positive practice environments as the other PPE because...
PPE being? PPE?
Positive practice environment.
But during COVID, it meant personal protective equipment, which we were short on.
Correct.
Yeah.
And, it became a household conversation during the pandemic. I share with people, even my 102-year-old grandpa knew what PPE meant because, it's what kept us safe. But what we're saying now is that positive practice environment is the other PPE because it's just as essential in protecting and also enabling our caregivers to function at their best. And, that's extremely important. One thing that we also remind healthcare leaders is that, any organization's front line is their bottom line, that their experience, the experience that they have at work, their job satisfaction, as you mentioned, their engagement and their capacity is what shapes, quality, safety, service, and cost every single day. And, even pre-pandemic, before burnout became a part of the public conversation, research was already, showing us that when nurses are empowered, when they have supported leadership, and when organization cares about their well-being, outcomes improve, not only for nurses, but also their patients and organizations. So the one thing I always, tell people is that if there is a silver lining to the pandemic, it's, really putting a spotlight on that. And that's one of the main reasons why ANCC developed the Pathway Framework And that's to translate the evidence into practical, achievable blueprint that organizations can use to transform their own organizational cultures and also their practice environment.
You know, I just to share with listeners that Don Berwick, who was who founded and was head of the Institute for Healthcare Improvement and then became Secretary of Health and Human Services under the Obama, or maybe it was Medicare. I can't remember. Maybe it was just he was over Medicare. Anyway, he was involved in the Obama administration for a short time. And he came up with the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, came up with what he called the triple aim. And it was that if we're going to really improve the performance of healthcare systems, we have to be focused on improving people's experiences with care, the both quality of care and the satisfaction with care. Second, improving the health of populations, that it really had to have more than an individual impact. It had to improve the health of populations, and it needed to reduce costs. And so if we're going to improve healthcare, we need to focus on these three. But then there was the realization that you can't get there if you don't focus on your employee satisfaction and this concept again of joy in practice. I was sort of surprised that it took a minute for that to emerge into the quadruple aim of healthcare as it is now. I think there's even a quintuplet now, but your the links among all of these is what this program draws upon, right?
100%, yes.
And so let's talk a little bit about what does a positive work environment look like?
Sure. You know, so if you look at the pathway framework, it's actually comprised of six evidence-based standards. And, you know, that includes shared decision-making, leadership, safety, quality, well-being, and then lastly is professional development. And, you know, shared decision-making is the cornerstone of pathway organization. What that means is that they embrace frontline expertise. Nurses have input and influence, you know, into the decisions that shape their practice. And, you know, the one thing, you know, in many of our discussions, right, we're actually very proud, especially here in the U.S., that nurses are regarded as the most trusted profession. However, Diana, that doesn't always translate to influence. You know, so it's intentional that shared decision making is the very first pathway standard, because we recognize that without structural power, our ability is limited to drive change. And it's not just having the structures in place in pathway, but also continually assessing, because the effectiveness, for example, of governance structures determine practice, behavior, and the influence that we can make. And then another hallmark of pathway is also having well-being built into the framework as a core standard. One of the requirements for all organizations is to make workforce well-being a part of their strategic plan. And what that does is to set the expectation that organizations proactively design environments that are psychologically safe, sustainable, and supportive. And we want to make sure that the focus on well-being stays, you know, front and center all year long, regardless of what new priorities pop up. So that is one key differentiator, actually, for Pathway, even when you compare, you know, us to other credentials that we have at ANCC. And then, you know, lastly, what also makes Pathway unique is that all of these standards that I just talked about aren't just measured through policies alone. Nurses themselves validate whether their environment truly reflects these principles. The emphasis on nurses having a voice is foundational. In fact, no organization can achieve the designation without the workforce, you know, validating it. We invite every single nurse, so that includes the chief nursing officer, the educators, night shift, you know, weekend staff, to share their perception of the practice environment with us in the validation survey. So, you know, as you can tell already, pathway is not about what leaders say the environment is like, but mm-hmm. how nurses actually experience it. You know, it's a really effective way to close the gap that we see all the time between organizational intent, because usually that's there, but, you know, the gap between that and what frontline nurses are saying.
And, So, Christine, you also, the American Nurses Credentialing Center, we abbreviate it ANCC. Yeah. ANCC also has what's called the Magna Program. Tell Correct. Listeners what the Magna Program is and how it's different from Pathway to Excellence. And then I'm going to tell listeners why this is so important for our community.
Yeah, so both programs are a part of the ANCC Nursing Excellence Framework, which is considered the gold standard. And although both reflect a commitment to excellence, they actually have very distinct focus. Magnet's focus is mostly on outcomes and innovation through research. And Pathway to Excellence, you know, as you probably can tell already, the focus is on the practice environment and how that environment empowers, increases engagement, and also supports its people. It's about the foundational conditions that allow nursing practice to flourish. So it's a great, you know, blueprint for creating cultures and practices that support sustained excellence.
And let me just say, when I was editor of the American Journal of Nursing back in the aughts, in the 2000s, I traveled around the country, and I could walk into a hospital and almost tell you whether it was a magnet hospital or not. There was just a different ambience, a different feel. That idea, when you say the culture of an organization, you could feel that there was a difference in the culture of the organization. Now, I do know some organizations that have never applied for magnet status, and they could probably get it if they had it. So it doesn't mm-hmm. mean that if your hospital doesn't have it, it's not meeting those standards. But I have to say that I think it really has been an indicator of excellence, and the community should know that yes. that when you go for magnet status, the community is asked for a comment period as well. And what I want to share is that many of you know I'm on the board of Margaville Hospital, which is part of Health Alliance, which is part of WMC Health. And WMC Health, the chief nurse officer, or chief nurse executive for the system, Phyllis Yezzo, has, with the support of the new president and CEO of WMC Health, David Lubarsky, has made the commitment for the various entities in the system to pursue magnet status. And mm-hmm. this is huge for us, so it'll be up to each individual hospital to pursue it. You don't give it system-wide. You can't apply system-wide, I don't believe, for either program. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, you cannot.
And so each hospital in the WMC health system has to go after it. When Margaville Hospital is ready to go after it, then there would be not only, as Christine Pabico has been saying, staff input and staff reflections on whether it's really a magnet facility and the stand meets the standards of a magnet program, but also the community will have the opportunity for input. So I think this, but I have to say, Christine, that I have talked to a couple people who've said to me that they thought that the pathway to excellence was a more meaningful and important program. That the magnet, you have to demonstrate it, you have to prove it, you know, that you're meeting all those standards. And you have to do that with pathway to excellence too. But that the journey to get this designation with Pathway to Excellence really helped institutions to lean in on some of the most important elements of creating a positive work environment. Would you buy into that perspective?
I think both of them, you know, are great. The one thing that we do see all the time from, you know, organizations embarking on the pathway journey, the moment they hear what the journey is all about, because it's all about them, you know, it's about the people, they readily embrace it. And, you know, they immediately see the effects I know there's so many studies out there that are, you know, that is, you know, validating this for us now. Before, we used to hear the anecdotes and also testimonials from the nurses and also the CNOs. But, you know, even in the last 6 to 8 months, you know, Diana, there's several national and also multi-state studies that have come out that shows that, you know, pathway designation being associated with more favorable nurse work environments, with higher quality of nursing care, stronger patient safety climate, and also greater likelihood that nurses would recommend their organization. And I think that's important right now because we're at a time where every single one of us is competing for the same pool of nurses.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one strength of Pathway, because, you know, they have a say in whether the organization becomes designated or not, that once they achieve it, it's not only validation from ANCC, but it becomes a validation directly from their own workforce that it's a great place to work.
And would you advise healthcare organizations like hospitals to first do Pathway to Excellence, then go after magnet designation?
That's a great question, and we get asked that all the time. We have some hospitals that, you know, their eventual goal is to become magnet recognized, and they do apply for Pathway first to set up a strong foundation. But what we are seeing more and more now, and we actually think it's best practice, is for organizations to identify what their biggest, things are that they're trying to solve within their organization, and then see which framework is more aligned with their priorities. Because, you know, we work with big health systems now, and they leave it up to their own nurses to decide which journey to go for. And, you know, some go for magnet, and then some go for pathway as well. So there are many pathway hospitals that choose it as their terminal designation. You know, some have been designated 5 times, you know, which also reinforces that this is not a one and done kind of, you know, journey, that, you know, it's a continuous, you know, improvement that they're really striving for.
So I know that you have been in lots of hospitals and long-term care, and we should say that Pathway to Excellence is also something that can be pursued by long-term care facilities, that designation. Just give our listeners a sense of, when you walk into a hospital, what are the kinds of things that tell you this place is really innovated about the work environment? What are some examples, things that have been like, wow, this hospital's doing this and it's fantastic in terms of creating a positive work environment? What are some of the best practices you're seeing?
Yeah, I think, you know, with the nurses, you can tell right away when the nurses, you know, truly own, you know, the things that they have at the hospital. Because one thing that we emphasize with organizations is, you know, to always go the extra step. It's not about, you know, having those relaxation lounges, you know, Diana.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, what's important to your, you know, team members? Because oftentimes what we hear from the nurses is that, you know, yes, they have well-being initiatives in place, but it's not really making a meaningful difference to us. Mm. Or, you know, they have those, you know, relaxation lounges, but, you know, if we're so busy during our shift and we can't even get off the floor to eat and, you know, have a break, have an uninterrupted break, you know, we're never going to be able to utilize those lounges. Mm. So what we see in those pathway organizations is, you know, you can see that their structures and processes actually work. You know, they're effective and they're meeting the intent, you know, that they originally, had it for.
So say a little bit more about shared decision making and how that looks in an organization.
Yeah, so even, for example, with the well-being standard, one of the requirements that we have for organizations is that the nurses must have input into the, you know, selection and also the planning of their well-being initiatives. So, you know, the moment you do that, you know, the team is excited and make sure that they embrace those initiatives and truly make it work. So those are the kinds of differences that we see. And in fact, you know, you mentioned about, you know, feeling right away when you walk into a magnet hospital. I still remember when we were in London and, you know, we were doing hospital rounds with the Daisy Foundation, and they visited thousands of hospitals across the globe, and they entered, you know, visited one of our pathway hospitals, and the Barnes actually said, there's something different about this hospital, you know, and they can sense it right away. So it's the same, you know, kind of feeling that you get when you walk into a pathway hospital.
And does shared governance enter in here, or does it enter in only with the magnet program? And maybe we should say what that means.
Governance. Actually, the very first standard that we have is shared decision making. You know, again, we're very intentional even with the terminology, because even with shared governance structures, it's the concept of shared decision making that makes it, you know, impactful. And, you know, when you talk to many of the nurses that, you know, work in pathway designated organizations, they always say that, you know, what really makes the journey meaningful for them and what changes, you know, the way, you know, they see, you know, their profession and just the pride that they have in what they do is that, you know, shared decision making piece, because they feel truly valued, you know, being invited to provide input into decisions that they have to make.
Yes, and with the magnet model, you have to have a shared governance model, which means that the nursing staff are making decisions about, they're sharing in the decision-making about policies, about procedures, about practices, and they have a governance that enables them to do this shared decision-making in a structured way and in a way that is meaningful, hopefully. So
yes.
So there are a lot.
And that would be both, Diana, even
both.
For Pathway. You know,
okay.
We require them to have shared governance councils. But, you know, what we emphasize more is the concept of shared decision making. But you're absolutely right. You have to have the structures in place, you know, for them to be able to do that. But, you know, kind of like what I talked about, effectiveness of the structures, right? You know, what we hear from many organizations is, they might have the councils in place, but nurses are saying that they're not able to get off the unit, to be able to participate.
Yes.
So that's a bigger focus in Pathway, is making sure that those structures are effective.
So in about 30 seconds or so, why should listeners, what can listeners do? Why is this relevant to listeners? Why should they care about this issue?
The evidence is becoming very clear, you know, Diana, that investing in positive practice environments drives measurable cost saving and also better performance for organizations. You know, we see organizations have improved retention, reduced turnover costs, stronger patient outcomes, and just better overall performance. So I always tell them, when you consider the cost of losing, and you've heard this, experienced nurses, relying on contract labor, or managing avoidable adverse events, the financial impact is so significant.
Yeah.
You know, investing in the work environment is actually, you know, not investing in the work environment is actually the more expensive choice.
Yeah.
So one thing I ask people is that, can you afford not to do anything now? And where would your organization be if you did not create a positive practice environment?
Yeah. And as you said in the outset, everybody's competing for the same workforce.
Yeah.
And I advise nurses, check out whether it's a magnet facility, and now I'll say a pathway to excellence designated facility, and how are they addressing creating a positive work environment. So it's just really important work. Now, if people would like more information about this pathway to excellence program or the magnet program, how would they do so?
Yeah, the best place is, you know, to start is to connect with us. You know, we're all here, you know, as a resource, and also to visit the ANCC, you know, website, which includes resources and also examples from organizations around the world. And even if organizations are not interested in pursuing the recognition itself, Diana, I always remind them the frameworks are free. So please, please, please take advantage of it.
And what is that website?
It's nursingworld.org, www.nursingworld.org.
And that takes you to the American Nurses Association's page, but I think there's another website for that can get you to ANCC.
Yeah, once you get there, you know, one of the tabs is actually ANCC.
Okay.
So they can click on ANCC and choose programs. And under programs, you're going to find information about Magnet, about Pathway to Excellence, Practice Transition Accreditation Program, and also our continuing professional development.
Great. So that is Dr. Christine Pabico, a registered nurse and senior director of the Pathway to Excellence program for the American Nurses Credentialing Center. Thank you so much for coming on to Health Center and the Catskills today, Christine, and talking about this issue.
Thank you so much, Diana.
Have a great
day. Enjoy talking to you.
Bye-bye. Same. Bye.